Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. It is so wonderful to see you, so wonderful to be with you on this summer morning. Thank you for showing up. We're a very small group today, and I'm grateful to all of you for forming our community this morning. I think all of you know me. With me in leadership this morning is Catherine Morrow, who is our soloist and also our new music administrator, while Sarah is on her maternity leave. The baby has not been born yet. We will keep you posted on that. And our accompanist this morning is Norman Nermy. Norm, thank you for being with us. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the neighborhood and throughout our city. And we gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. A warm welcome to members of Rosedale Presbyterian Church who may be with us here this morning, and a reminder that in August, our congregation will be gathering at Rosedale Presbyterian right through the Labor Day weekend. We do have time for coffee and conversation after the service today, and we hope you'll stay for other reasons as well, which I'm going to beyond conversation, and I'll get to that in a moment. This summer, we've been following a summer series that we're calling Finding the Thread, because I don't know about you, but I find that summer is a time when I try to come back to myself and what's important to me and to connect to what's important. So this is where our theme comes from. We started with asking tough questions as a way of finding the thread of our lives. We went from there to the practice of compassion and how compassion can also ground us in our values and what's important to us and help us to connect. Last week, we talked about how to regain our rhythm. And today, as a special guest helping us again to explore this theme, we welcome Reverend Emily Gordon. Emily, if you could just give a wave. Many of you will know Emily. She's been here before. I came to know Emily through the North Toronto cluster when she was serving at Leaside United Church. Emily now serves Bathurst Street United Church, as well as founding Burning Bush Eco Ministry, where she coaches ministers in how to connect worship with an environmental perspective, to look for how nature shows up in our weekly scripture readings and to bring nature and ecology into our preaching and weekly liturgies. And she helps congregations to connect with wonder and awe when it comes to the environment, making protecting the earth a delightful spiritual practice. I can't tell you how much I've learned and continue to learn from Emily, and how delighted I am, Emily, to be welcoming you back to Rosedale United. Some other announcements that I told you I was going to get to. At coffee time today, we are making our sandwiches for the Out of the Cold program at St. Luke's United. We do this once a month, the third Sunday of every month. And that is today. So it'll be all hands on deck at coffee hour. When we have a lot of helpers, it usually takes us less than 30 minutes. Also, I biked today, so I am looking for someone to drive me down to St. Luke's so that I can drop them off after the service. Thank you, Bob. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. I think that's it for me for announcements. So with that, I will invite us to stand, however you're comfortable, in body, in spirit, and we'll join together in the words of our call to worship. Okay. We gather to worship in the midst of summer warmth, green growth, and abundance. We have come ready to experience God's word in Scripture. We are here to praise our Creator and give our thanks. We have come to raise our spirits to the heavens in song. We are here to offer prayers for a better world for everyone. We gather here as one community to worship together and to be reminded to love one another. We have come as one family of God, eager to be prompted in the ways of holy goodness and loving kindness. Come, let us worship God. We sing together, "Come down, O love divine." That's in the red hymn book. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you all. And I invite you to turn. You can move out of your pews. Feel free to circulate and extend this greeting of peace to those around you. It's a simple blessing. Just say, "Peace be with you." And we light our Christ candle now, where two or three are gathered. Jesus the Christ says, I am there. This light is a symbol for us of hope and goodness. I want to invite us now into a moment for silence, a moment to take a breath, to enter more fully into this place, leaving behind the week that we have come from, opening our hearts to the newness that is waiting for us. A moment for silence, and then a gathering prayer. Let us pray. How amazing it is, God, what we can hear when we are silent. There is bird song. There is the sound of our city. There is humanity all around us. And so we say to you, good morning, God. We come this morning just to be with you. For this short time of worship, and to be nourished by community, to be comforted by this sanctuary and its people. There is much in this world that worries us and leaves us apprehensive. But here in this space, this holy space, we come back to ourselves. We find again the thread. We are filled with a sense of the sacred. We seek again your kingdom. This day, your kingdom is like dew on our gardens, like the sun that warms our skin, like the antics of newborn that bring bubbling laughter from within us. Your kingdom moves our focus from the powers that be in the here and now to your love and grace that are always next to us. Amen. Opening our theme today, we're about to hear in our scriptures. We've been following the story of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca, and now new people coming into the story, Jacob, Esau. Today, Jacob wrestling with God. And we're about to hear in the scriptures, God promised to Jacob to be with him and to keep him wherever he will go. Sometimes we can start limiting our dreams and our expectations when we feel that we're alone or that it's all on us, all on our shoulders to make them real. But if we dare to trust that God is always with us, it does something to our sense of possibility. So my question for you this morning is, what possibilities are you holding within you for yourself or for our world? What dreams do you have for yourself or for our planet? What expectations do you have that would receive oxygen and life, knowing that God is with you in pursuing them? What possibilities, what dreams, what expectations do you have for yourself or for our world that would receive a breath of fresh air, knowing that God is with you in pursuing them? This question is for your heart, and I invite you to contemplate as Norm plays.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. This is a reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12 and 23-24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. If there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God guide and support us in understanding this reading of Scripture. The second reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night, because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamt that there was a stairway set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely God is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put upon his head, and had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today. Looks like I'm up next for a solo, but since I have a microphone, I'm just going to say a couple of words. The piece that Norm and I chose to sing today is called My Lord, What a Morning. If you were here early enough to hear the prelude, you would have heard the traditional hymn tune that is based on a traditional spiritual with the same traditional words. Now, there is some controversy about doing spirituals these days, and the pendulum, in my opinion, has swung a little bit too much toward the sensitivity of acquiring music that is not inherently ours. And I take the point that as an Irish Canadian who went to Branksome Hall, my singing about slavery is a little bit rich. But this is a piece that Norm chose to write a new tune for because the words spoke to him very deeply. And in my opinion, it is in the hymn book and is therefore a more universal message. And the other thing about it is that the title, My Lord, What a Morning, is in fact a play on words. Because sometimes you mean like the glorious morning we have this morning. And in fact, we would all be right to say, My Lord, what a morning. But sometimes it has to do with mourning with a U. And all of us have been through that, sometimes more than once and sometimes recently. But the other reason for being able to do a song like this at Rosedale is that the exception for not being accused of taking on music that should not rightfully be yours is if it has a connection to the church itself. And in this case, the tune was written by him. So we're connected. And just in case I wasn't quite sure about it, he wrote on here, for my wife. So he wrote it for me to sing. And just in case I wasn't sure which wife, he wrote Catherine Morrow. Mic for this.
Thank you. Some years back, there was an initiative that came as part of the United Church. It was called the Presence Project, an invitation to remember God's presence with us all the time. And they shared these words that can be used in worship. A phrase said by the worship leader comes from this passage: "Surely God is in this place." And then there's an opportunity for everyone to respond, "Help me notice. Help us notice together." So we're going to try that. We'll practice it once or twice, depending how we do. And I'm going to say it a few times in my reflection. And if you're listening, you can respond. And then you'll be joining in with everyone else, and you get a reward right in the middle. So, "Surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together." All right, let's try that again. It's a prayer, right? Prayer to God. "Surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together." Let's try it one more time. "Surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together." All right. So in my reflection this morning, I'm going to take the idea of threads in a slightly different direction and think about three threads that for me come out in this passage this morning, and we can see braided together in the reflection and in my life, our lives. The first thread is relationships, and particularly here we hear broken relationships. Relationships that are missing, broken, lacking. The second thread is place. For me, that always connects back to the climate crisis. And then the third thread is God's presence. And so I say, "Surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together." So our scripture reading that we heard today coming from Genesis is about Jacob. And I'm going to ask you to think for a moment about what you know about Jacob. Do you remember anything? Anywhere he pops up? Any stories about him? He's a twin with Esau. Yeah? What did you say? Yeah, but it's his son. So Jacob is the father of Joseph of Technicolor Dreamcoat fame, which means he has 12 sons. And I think there's a few daughters scattered in there as well. They just don't get any attention. Yeah. So that's later in his life. He's not there yet. This story comes pre-marriage. He was manipulative. He sure was. He was not your model for beautiful, wonderful, ethical behavior. So, here's how he was manipulative. First, he was the younger twin. So, Esau, the oldest son, had the right to inherit from his father, both his inheritance and his blessing. And Jacob wasn't very happy about that. So, one day when Esau was out hunting, doing hard work, Jacob made a really delicious stew. And when he came back, that's the first thing Esau said. And Esau was so hungry. He's like, "I'm so hungry. Give me some of that stew." And Jacob says, "First, promise me your inheritance." And Esau's like, well, if I die of hunger, my inheritance isn't going to mean anything. So sure. And Jacob gives him the stew. All right. So he's got the inheritance, but he hasn't got his father's blessing. So on his father's deathbed, his mother, who favors Jacob, helps Jacob disguise himself as Esau and get the blessing that was Esau's right. All right, so this is our hero of the story. Someone who manipulates and deceives, and at this point, the story takes place because Esau's found out what's happened, and Jacob is afraid his brother is going to kill him. So he's on the run, just like taking off, getting out of there, not taking a bunch of stuff with him. That's where this story takes place. So we're talking about broken relationships. Jacob's done a lot of work on accomplishing that. He's on the run. And this is where this story takes place. Now, I hope that I can assume that you haven't deceived your twin in ways that have caused your twin to actively try to kill you. But all of us, in some way or another, have relationships that we've broken through our selfishness or our lack of understanding or jealousy or something else. And even when we move beyond these individual places of broken relationships, there's something else happening in our society right now. It's called social atrophy. Social atrophy. Our former moderator, the very Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne, has a Substack, which she shares reflections on, usually twice a week. It's called Churchy Conversations. And this morning, the reflection that she shared is called Out of Practice. And she writes about this. She writes about social atrophy. How in our brains, there is a particular part of our brain that allows us to engage in social connections. And when it's not used, it diminishes. So the more our society moves into spaces of isolation and not true places of connection, the more we not only lose those moments of connection, we lose our capacity to connect with one another. Broken relationships. And there are so many places that we, a little bit like Jacob, not exactly, but a little bit like Jacob, are on the run. On the run from challenging relationships. On the run from meaningful reflection about our character and what we're called to. On the run because we work late or keep busy or find the make work tasks that allow us to not need to think about it. On the run by traveling as a way of escape rather than a way to learn or grow. On the run by scrolling, doom scrolling, watching the next episode of that show. On the run. And yet, surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together. That second thread, this place. So in the passage that we heard one word repeated six times. And that word is place. Place. Comes up more than it needs to for such a short passage. This place matters. And we think about this place where Jacob is while on the run. We picture it bare ground and a rock for a pillow. So often in our scriptures, we see what's going on in our hearts and our lives reflected in the natural environment. And it matters. It matters that Jacob has two experiences of God. There's this one, and there's one more that happens once again while he's traveling, while he's alone, camped out by himself. Those are the two places in his life he encounters God. Once on the run and once returning in the hopes of finally reconciling with his brother a lot of years later. This place. And I heard some conversations about this just as we were gathering, because whenever we think about place and the climate crisis, so on Wednesday, when I was sitting at home trying to work while the orange glow was illuminating the room, and I was thinking, this is the apocalypse. It's here now. We don't have to wait for it. And we've done this to ourselves. Right? We don't have to work hard to get our human experience right here and right now this week with the extreme heat dome and then the poor air quality that meant that this week I'd planned to take my kids to the library once and we were there four times because I couldn't safely take them outside. Place. We don't have to work hard to get into that feeling that Jacob had in this desolate space, feeling that he was not worthy. And yet, surely God is in this place. Help me notice. Help us notice together. Because here's the thing, God's presence was there when Jacob was not even aware of it. He says that, surely God is this place, and I was not even aware of it. God's presence was there for Jacob, even though he definitely did not deserve it. He wasn't in a place where he expected it. It didn't wait for him to become an amazing person. It did not even manage to make him a model citizen right away. Although eventually, 14 years later, he does manage to reconcile with his brother, arguably mostly due to his brother. And yet, God's presence was there. So when we say this phrase about God's presence, we hear not first, God is with me, or God is with us. We hear first, God is here. And we hear that no matter where we are, no matter where we step. It doesn't have anything to do with us, but it's about God's presence in all of creation. And that shift from it being about me as an individual to being about God's presence in all of creation changes how we think about how we engage with the world. Not trying to deserve God's presence or God's love, but knowing we need to spend the time to recognize it and act as if it's there already. So, I'm going to follow in Kristen's footsteps and offer you a few more questions to think about. They're not my questions. They come from a couple of the sources that I drew on as I was putting this together. But there are other ways of getting at that same point that Kristen asked This one comes from Reverend Lynn Gardner. Where did I notice grace today? If you're the kind of person that likes to write things down, I give you permission to take out your phone or your notebook and write it down. It's fine. Where did I notice grace today? She also asked, where might God have been present, even if I missed it? Where might God have been present, even if I missed it? And Valerie Bridgman offers this question. How willing are we to imagine a world different from the one we inhabit? How willing are we to imagine a world different from the one we inhabit? For me, that question is the one that pulls together these threads, the threads of broken relationship, the threads of climate crisis, the threads of God's presence there, whether or not we are aware of it. How willing are we to imagine a world that is different from the one we inhabit? Because we need to start by imagining that is possible. We need to start with the faith, the conviction that things can be different and better, not just for ourselves, not just for our local community, but for all of creation. And I believe that this task of imagining that things can be better is the task of faith. It's the work that we do together when we gather every Sunday. It's the work that we do together when we gather during the week and build spaces for relationship. Spaces that challenge the social isolation and atrophy that are happening right here and right now. In the small groups and the Bible studies and the work of reaching out to someone you don't know and making the effort to learn their name. It's the work of imagining that the world can be better, not just for me, not just for our local community, but for all of creation. And when we do that, possibilities open up that are not just difficult work, but are sources of possibility and joy. Quite a few years ago now, when bike shares weren't well established, but was just a startup idea, my father, who owns a bicycle and biked to work every day, bought a bike share membership, an annual bike share membership, because he said, we need a certain number of people to believe that this is important and invest in it. Even though he didn't have expectations of needing to use it, he maybe used it once that year, because a certain number of people need to believe that things can be different and then take action to make that happen. And I was thinking, okay, what might possibilities like that look like for us now? Could it be buying a year's TDC membership? Because we know that transit needs investment, not private donation, but a belief that it matters, even if we don't expect it to use it enough to be worth it. What if we had the financial capacity to do that? Where else are the spaces where we can use our imagination and our resources for the sake of not just ourselves, not just our local community, but all of creation? Imagining that things can be better than the world we inhabit. I'm not going to give you a list. I'm going to leave you with these questions. And I'm going to remind you of this promise. This promise that comes to us from the beginning of Scripture to the end. The one that goes like this. Surely God is in this and every place. Help me notice. Help us notice together. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Emily. Friends, we stand and sing in response. Seek ye first the kingdom. Friends, we join in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. In this moment, we open our time of prayers for our world and the community with an invitation to light a candle. And you'll see that we have stations all around our sanctuary. And so you're welcome to stand, to move to a station, to light a candle that is representing a prayer that you're holding in your heart this morning, or perhaps an intention that you'd like to set. Equally, in this time, you're invited to give a financial offering to the ministry of this church. And if you'd like to do so, our offering box is at the back. And if you feel like just sitting and being in this time, you're equally invited just to listen to the music that accompanies this moment. So this moment is yours, and I invite you into it. Thank you. Let us pray. God of restless nights, teach us to be peace. For we have wrestled this week with anxiety and fearfulness. We pray for all the communities in Northern Ontario affected by wildfires, especially for members of the Nomega-Sagan First Nation. It has been impossible to forget the plight of the North when we are all connected by wind and waterways and smoke that travels. Our concern for the earth, God, is deep, and it is easy to get lost in our worry and apprehension. But you have sown knowledge and wisdom deep within us. You knit this knowledge into all humans. We know your way, and you are with us. Grace us with courage to do what we know is right and to delight in your creation. When we become discouraged, God of restless nights, teach us to be peace. Christ, who comes not to judge but to reconcile, we pray for relationships that have been broken between siblings, parents, and children, between spouses, neighbors, and nations. For the hurtful things we say, forgive us. For the hurt we carry, release us. In the grief that burdens us, comfort and strengthen us, that we in turn might comfort others. Pour your healing presence into each one of us, that we might be restored in mind, body, and spirit. Give us strength to choose love and to seek justice. God of restless nights, teach us to be peace. Healer of our every ill, we pray especially for situations around our world where violence has become the norm. God of restless nights, teach us to be peace. You create us in your image. You love us into being. You've equipped us to share your love. We thank you for the joy of being alive and being among your people, for laughter that eases tension, for green spaces that refresh us and this earth, for your presence in this place, for freshness after rain, for the taste of summer fruit, for the cycles and systems of creatures and creation on this planet we call home. God of restless nights, teach us to be peace. We pray, gathering our hearts and voices together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We stand to sing our closing hymn for the healing of the nations. Thank you. What a gift we've received in this time together to be reminded again that God is in this place, and not only this sanctuary, but out in our city, in every neighborhood, around our world, with us, with everyone, wherever we may go. We go now from here to notice and to delight in noticing. We bless each other as we go.